It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Wednesday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today on another busy, busy news day. Much to cover this morning. President Trump continuing his campaign to drive the left crazy yesterday. Him announcing that he was undoing many of President Barack Obama's initiatives, so-called initiatives for so-called climate change. In particular, lifting many of the restrictions that Obama wanted in place that's really affected the coal industry in particular, but also new ways of finding petroleum, that sort of thing. It was absolutely amazing, the reaction to that. We're going to deal with both of those. Front page of Fox News this morning, we have the announcement that two pro-life activists who made undercover videos of themselves trying to buy fetal tissue from Planned Parenthood. Yeah, they told the truth of what's going on behind the doors at Planned Parenthood, but guess what? They've now been charged with 15 felonies. That announcement from California prosecutors yesterday, State Attorney General Becerra announced the charges against David DeLighton and Sandra Merritt. Becerra said the two used a fictitious bioresearch company to meet with women's healthcare providers and covertly record them. So there you go again. That's the agenda of the left, folks. It's not about what these people found going on inside the doors of Planned Parenthood, which gets $500 million of your taxpayers' money every year, which, by the way, they probably will continue to get because of the failure of the Republican Party to come together on a replacement for Obamacare, because at least in the plan the Republicans were coming up with, in for a year at least, Planned Parenthood would not get any federal dollars, but they'll continue to get it. But there you have it. And you know these charges, who's pushing these charges. It's Planned Parenthood. There is no question about what these two pro-life activists found is true. It's going on. You probably have heard, have seen the videos that they were able to get from this. But this morning, they are now facing 15 felony charges. Now, they say the charges are bogus and they're willing and ready to fight them in court. But that's the way the left operates, folks. They put out all these smoke screens and they do their very best to punish those who are trying to expose what's really going on behind closed doors. Well, yesterday, as I mentioned, want to get to the announcement from President Trump signing an executive order to undo a slew of Obama-era climate change regulations that his administration says is hobbling oil drillers and coal miners, and a move environmental groups have vowed to take, guess what, to court. Well, here's what the president had to say yesterday in announcing removing these restrictions so Americans can be guaranteed a more access to domestic coal and petroleum.
The action I'm taking today will eliminate federal overreach, restore economic freedom, and allow our companies and our workers to thrive, compete, and succeed on a level playing field for the first time in a long time, fellas. It's been a long time. The miners told me about the attacks on their jobs and their livelihoods. They told me about the efforts to shut down their mines, their communities, and their very way of life. I made them this promise. We will put our miners back to work. We've already eliminated a devastating anti-coal regulation, but that was just the beginning. Today, I'm taking bold action to follow through on that promise. My administration is putting an end to the war on coal. Going to have clean coal, really clean coal. With today's executive action, I am taking historic steps to lift the restrictions on American energy, to reverse government intrusion, and to cancel job-killing regulations.
So there you have it. President Trump went on to further explain why he was doing all of this. But as I was mentioning, be prepared now. Environmental groups are already saying they've hired scores of new lawyers who are going to go out this and challenge this in court. So the battle is raging already on this. They were prepared for this because Canada Trump told us during the campaign he planned to do this. So they're ready for action on this. You know, folks, when it comes to all these initiatives that you've been hearing about and the agenda of a former President Obama, the people was going to hurt the most in the middle class. No questions about it. Because of the higher cost of energy under former President Obama's plan, it was going to hurt the middle class the most. The other thing, and I was listening to a clip yesterday of one of these pro-global warming type individuals, and out there with all of these warnings and dire consequences, et cetera, you've heard them all before. But, you know, just step back for a moment and look at what's been going on with climate around the world, and you will see at the very most a half a degree temperature rise over the last 10, 20 years in the global temperature. Now, there's a couple of things to that. Number one, that's following a course of things. Just think about these things for a moment, folks. And what they wanted to, what they're claiming is, you know, disastrous areas. We've heard the claims of there's going to be more stormy weather. You know, it's really interesting. In the last couple of years in particular, we've had these predictions of, for instance, more hurricanes along the southeast portion of the United States. Hasn't happened. We've heard more about, you know, what's going to happen in the northern climates, et cetera, et cetera. Weather is cyclical. It happens. We go through these cycles. Those of us who are at least 40 or 50 years of age understand that. We've seen the cycles of weather through the years. So what was former President Barack Obama, what was that agenda all about? Well, it really was part of his globalist agenda to bring the United States under global laws. That's what this Paris Treaty was all about, which the announcement yesterday from President Trump really didn't deal with that, the so-called Paris Accord. But what it did deal with yesterday is kind of unshackling the energy business in this country so that we can continue to use, as President Trump said, the clean coal that's coming out of the ground here, so we can continue to explore the other petroleum sources that we have in this country, which the experts tell us will last hundreds of years. Now, what he's not saying is that we're going to stop any research on other types of energy. I mean, there's such a vast potential there for nuclear energy out there. Yes, we can use wind energy and we can use sun energy, but folks, wind and sun energy are not going to help you in the cost of driving your car, i.e. gas prices. That's not going to help you there. Real Americans understand that. It is these far left people and their far left agenda. But all of that to say, you're going to face and see multiple challenges in the courts on this, and we'll have to wait and see how it all works out. On another front, Congresswoman Maxine Waters of California, as some would say, one of the most radical left-wing members of Congress, got up and made a speech earlier this week on the House floor about patriotism. But, you know, she wasn't talking about, and really what her focus was, another attack on President Trump. Let's have a listen to some of what she had to say on the floor on Monday night.
Mr. Speaker, my position against this president and his administration is clear. I oppose this president. I do not honor this president. I do not respect this president. He has disrespected the office and offended so many people across this country and around the world with his disgusting and indecent rhetoric against women, the black community, Muslims, immigrants, and disabled Americans. Mr. Speaker, it is not just the African American community who will lose under this president. It is everyone who isn't a millionaire or billionaire that stands to lose under this administration. I will continue to oppose him and fight him every step of the way.
Well, there it is. And that, folks, I think Maxine Waters really represents what you're seeing out there right now in these attacks. The Democrats just cannot get over what happened last November. They can't. And they are out to discredit this administration. And, of course, they have the help of the mainstream media. And to a certain extent, they certainly have the help of the courts in all of this. But, you know, I'd love a chance to speak with Congresswoman Maxine Waters about the issue, and this is just one issue. What about the criminals, the illegal aliens? Now, she's from California. I would like to ask her about San Francisco and really the bid in California to make the whole state a so-called sanctuary state, for criminal illegal aliens to continue their activity. I would like to ask Congresswoman Maxine Waters what she says to the mother of that little 14-year-old girl in North Carolina, or pardon me, in Maryland, who, by now you've heard the story, who was raped. The two young gentlemen who are charged, both in the country illegally. One of those charged his father in the country illegally. One of those charged an 18-year-old who was discovered crossing the border illegally. And according, this happened last year when he came across the border. And ICE agents, acting on directives from then President Obama, let him go. They just let him go. And he traveled up to Maryland to live with his dad. By the way, his dad was taken into custody yesterday because he's also in the country illegally. So what does Congresswoman Maxine Waters say about that? But you have Congresswoman Maxine Waters, the mayors of these so-called sanctuary cities, saying, yeah, we're going to ignore the fact that they're in the country illegally. We're going to protect these people. And we're going to fight any efforts by President Trump, by the Justice Department. You probably heard Attorney General Sessions on Monday announcing that a crackdown, they want sanctuary cities to abide by federal laws. We forget the very basic fact about this. These are illegal aliens. There's a reason why they are called illegal. They have broken the law to enter this country. And yet you have these mayors responding to Attorney General Sessions the other day by saying, we are going to go to court. You see the avenue of the left? We're going to go to court to protect our right, their right, this is what they say, to shelter and protect these people who are in this country illegally. That's their attitude in all of this. I like the suggestion from Todd Starnes in responding to all of this yesterday. He said, you know what? When crimes are committed by these illegal aliens in these very sanctuary cities like San Francisco and New York and Chicago and Philadelphia, Todd Starnes has suggested, let's hold these mayors liable. The families of those where crimes are perpetrated against those families ought to take the mayors to court on this. But that's the agenda of the left, folks, and that we're here to expose all of this. We'll be talking more about this when we come back after the break with Gary Bauer, with everything else that's going on. There was a declaration yesterday by House Speaker Paul Ryan that we will have a replacement for Obamacare. Is it going to stick? We'll be asking Gary about that and much more when we come back here on Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred sitting in, back in just a few moments.
from Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham comes Facing Darkness. In 2014, as the Ebola virus was devastating West Africa,
the numbers of new cases and deaths are still rising.
International relief organization Samaritan's Purse stepped up.
God has called us to care for the dying, to care for those that are suffering.
We can't say we're Samaritan's Purse and not help.
My phone rang. One of our doctors, Kent Brantley, has Ebola.
And then David looked at me and he said, "You too have Ebola."
We're there to save life. We're there in your name. Why?
Despite the fact that things were out of control, we knew that God was in control.
God puts you in places and supplies the strength to deal with.
Jesus Christ didn't run. We run to the fire. We don't run away from it.
Facing Darkness, a true story of faith. In select cinemas for one night only, Thursday, March 30th. For theaters and tickets, go to facingdarknessmovie.com. That's facingdarknessmovie.com.
American Family Radio. Impacting lives.
Yes, my name is Tina, and I am from America, Kansas. And the last 3 years, the Lord has just really been moving in my life. But what I wanted to say is, you guys are just really on the ball. You're changing up the ministry in such good ways, and it's just wonderful. It's so profound to me. I downloaded the app because I wanted to listen to AFR Talk. We only get the music station here. So I listen on the app all the time. And I wanted to say, too, that Abraham Hamilton, having him on board is just awesome. You guys are just adding so much to the ministry. I just appreciate it so much. And so I just thank you so much for your ministry. And I'm always praying for you guys. And thank you so much for AFR.
Your partnership with American Family Radio keeps your family informed on the issues of the day. Join us for our 3-day share-a-thon beginning April 4th.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Nearly 60 years ago, a large bronze cross was erected on the town plaza in Taos, New Mexico, a memorial to the many local men who were killed by the enemy in the Bataan Death March. But now the memorial faces a new enemy, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a group of perpetually offended atheists, agnostics, and freethinkers from Wisconsin. They say the cross is a symbol of the Christian faith, and therefore the memorial excludes non-believers. They also say the cross creates the perception of the government's endorsement of Christianity. The Freedom From Religion Foundation demands the cross be removed from public property. But the good people of Taos will not be bullied by a bunch of out-of-town atheists. Mayor Dan Barone tells the local newspaper the war memorial is not budging, and he said he plans on backing up the veterans 100%. The atheist group should be ashamed, but to be honest, folks, they have no shame. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Sandy off today. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. You know, yesterday there was a big meeting of Republicans. Still kind of licking their wounds from their defeat on trying to come up with a replacement for Obamacare. But House Speaker Paul Ryan emerged from that meeting saying, "We are united," we referring to Republicans, "and we will have a replacement for Obamacare." This is how it sounded.
We just had a very, very good meeting with our members. As I said on Friday, we all have to reflect on what we could have done better. And this discussion was an honest and very constructive step forward. We are united around a common set of principles. We are united around our agenda. And we all want to advance the cause of freedom and limited government. We all want to make it easier for families to pay the bills and take care of their loved ones. We all want a system in healthcare where everybody can have access to affordable coverage. We have more choice and competition. We don't want a government-run healthcare system. We all agree on these things. So we're not going to retrench into our corners or put up dividing lines. Today, we broke down many of those dividing lines within our conference. There's too much at stake to get bogged down in all of that. We're going to move forward on the things the American people sent us here to do. The way I would just describe the meeting we just had with our members is we are all going to work together and listen together until we get this right. It is just too important. Obamacare is a collapsing law. Obamacare is doing too much damage to families. And so we're going to get this right. And in the meantime, we're going to do all of our other work that we came here to do. If Obamacare just stays as is.
All right. That's House Speaker Paul Ryan speaking after Republicans got together for their conference yesterday, as it's called, to talk about how they're going to continue to work on defeating Obamacare. And he said, reflecting on what we could have done better, we are going to get this right. Is that possible? Well, to help us maybe see through all of this, we're joined on the line right now from Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
Not too bad at all. I was just reflecting, to use that term that Paul Ryan was using yesterday.
Yeah.
They were reflecting yesterday at their meeting. But I was struck by, you know, we could have done better, and we are going to work on this until we get an agreement. Gary, some people are saying perhaps they should have done that over the last 5 years, kind of come up with their plan before presenting it as legislation after the election. What do you think?
Well, Fred, I mean, that would certainly have been logical. Look, you could even, instead of 5 years, you could just go back to Election Day last November. Speaker Ryan knew that there was going to be a Republican president. He knew that they had retained the House and that they had a slim two-vote margin in the Senate. And so you had all of November and December and January leading up to the inauguration to have meetings with his colleagues about all this. And look, to say the obvious, I mean, there's the Tuesday group, which is the moderate, so-called moderate Republicans. There's a handful of people in that. And then there's the Freedom Caucus, which has a pretty large membership, and it would have seemed to me that the first thing that Paul Ryan would have wanted to do is sit down with the Freedom Caucus and make sure that he had them on board, because if he didn't have them on board, this thing wasn't going anywhere. So it does seem like a lack of planning, and it's pretty demoralizing, I think, to millions of people that were cheered by the election results and thought that there would be some, you know, major action fairly quickly.
Reading a comment from Daniel Horowitz, columnist yesterday, he notes that Senator John Cornyn, Republican from Texas, quite well known, Senate Majority Whip, apparently he said yesterday they will know, referring to Republicans, no longer pursue repeal of Obamacare through budget reconciliation, and that, quote, it needs to be done on a bipartisan basis, and so we're happy to work on it with Democrats if we can find any who are willing to do so. So there's kind of, yeah, we're going to work with Democrats if we can. But don't we all know that there's not a Democrat that are going to support any kind of repeal of Obamacare?
Well, I thought we all knew that. Look, this is, we all knew that Washington was a mess, and it's a bigger mess perhaps than even some of us realize. Now, look, in defense of Republicans, when Barack Obama rammed Obamacare down our throats, he had 60 Democrat senators in the United States Senate, and we've got 52. He had enough senators that he didn't have to worry about a filibuster. All he had to do was keep those 60 in line. Under the Senate rules, our 52 senators by themselves are not enough to do a complete repeal of Obamacare, because under the Senate rules, on some of that repeal, you will need 60 votes. So it's a very frustrating thing, and particularly after Republicans have said, elect us and we'll take care of it. But unfortunately, in the Senate, there's still this roadblock, and it's going to make everything hard, including getting Judge Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, as it's becoming more and more obvious that the Democrats plan on filibustering him. So, look, it's going to be a battle. I tried to tell people after Election Day and after Inauguration Day, if you just go back to life as usual, think you won the battle, think it's all over, think we saved America from the left, you're going to be sorely disappointed. You got to stay in the battle. You got to keep involved. You got to keep listening to shows like this and calling your elected officials and urging them to do as much as they possibly can do.
Does the Republican Party have to look seriously? Because what I read from the Democrats is that the people who run for office for the Democrats seem to be in sync on the Democratic Party ideology. And you just don't have that, correct me if I'm wrong, in the Republican Party. There's just this whole spectrum of ideological beliefs. When I look at a senator like Susan Collins from Maine, John McCain to a certain extent, I mean, they're not on the same page as President Donald Trump.
No, and look, I know you don't need a reminder of this, but Donald Trump wasn't on the same page as a lot of more traditional Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right. There are differences of opinion, some of them fairly significant within the Republican Party. There's a big one over foreign policy and America's role in the world. There's a disagreement about how big or small government can or should be. A lot of things to sort out. I would only go back to this one point that when the Democrats had 60 senators, they were able to keep them in line. And we've got 52, so we can't afford to lose anybody. And Susan Collins, if she started voting the way you and I would like her to vote, would probably end up being replaced by a Democrat in the United States Senate.
Mm. So that's what this ideological battle is really taking place at the grassroots level. And it's kind of, the reasoning is, and we use Susan Collins as an example, I can't win unless I sound like a Democrat.
I think she's actually saying what she believes. That is, she ran as a, for lack of a better word, a progressive Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And people voted for her. So I look more at some of these Democrats in the United States Senate, like Manchin in West Virginia, Donnelly in Indiana, McCaskill in Missouri, Tester in Montana. All of these Democrat senators, a big group of them, at least a dozen, are from states that Donald Trump won easily. And it is incredibly important next year that our side take about 6 of those seats. It would be even wonderful if we could take 8,
mm-hmm.
because we would then have 60 United States senators. And in those states, there's no reason in the world to run a progressive Republican. You can run a solid Republican conservative in West Virginia, Missouri, Ohio, Indiana, Montana, and they will have a more than 50-50 chance of winning. So it's incredibly important that the Republican Party stay together, conservatives stay together, avoid big primary fights in these states, and take some of those seats in November of 2018.
All right, so that's got to be the strategy as we head into the primaries in just a few months, is to find people that are going to sing from the same page as President Trump. And you believe in those states that you've named in particular, that's a possibility.
I think it's a definite possibility, but I also think that it will be a challenge to avoid bruising primary battles in those states. Are we going to, will the party end up nominating somebody that doesn't want to build the wall to secure the border, or somebody who agrees with Trump that every nation uses barriers, fences, border checkpoints, et cetera, in order to maintain their security? Will we nominate somebody that thinks that big multinational trade deals are wonderful, even if it means that some states lose all their working class jobs? Or will we nominate somebody that believes that while trade is great, American companies are often facing unfair competition and we need to protect important industries from workers in places like China that are willing to work for $1 an hour? So these are big differences. On one side will be the Chamber of Commerce and some of those business groups wanting us to nominate more of the old-time kind of Republicans, and on the other side, there are going to be candidates that want this new populist conservatism, which I consider myself to be one of those advocates of.
Can Republicans win by sticking to their guns on dealing with illegal immigration? And I'm thinking particularly of the announcement from the Attorney General this week. He's going to come tough on these so-called sanctuary cities. Is that a winning issue for Republicans?
It's a winning issue in the polls. The polling shows that people don't like the idea of sanctuary cities. If we really go on the attack on that and basically point out that these mayors are choosing illegal immigrants over the citizens of their city, and by the way, those citizens are of all races, so this hasn't got anything to do with racism, but that's what those mayors are doing. We can really score big on issues like that. In the legislative world, however, it's already apparent everything that Donald Trump tries to do, the left is going to sue him in the federal courts, and those courts are packed with left-wing judges. And that gets us back to we've got to get more of our judges on, and the Democrats in the Senate are making it clear they will fight every one of those judicial nominations, which is why we've got to win more Senate seats next year.
What's going to happen with nominee Gorsuch? We're into a one-week lull now. I guess the Democrats, according to the rules, won that earlier this week. Are you expecting any Democrats to come over? Because there's a bit of a debate going on, we understand right now, whether the Democrats will not fight this one in particular, but wait for the next one. Everybody's talking about Ginsburg retiring, going away, and that's where the fight will be. But when you listen to Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, he seems to be saying no surrender, even on Gorsuch, that we're going to go to the mat and no Democrats are going to support it. How do you think that's going to work out?
Well, at least, I believe at least 20 Democrat senators have already come out against him. Not one Democrat senator has come out for him yet. Many of those senators I mentioned in these conservative states have not announced what they're going to do. So this is going to be a very difficult box they're going to be in about whether they stick with their party or whether they worry about their own reelection campaigns. If Schumer follows through with this threat and the left keeps all these Democrat senators in line, then I think it's absolutely clear that Mitch McConnell and the Republican leaders have to make the case to the American people, point out that we have never historically filibustered court nominations. That is, the filibuster was always applied to legislation, not to the appointments of a president. So when we say take it back to 51 votes, that is not a nuclear option. The nuclear option was when the Democrats and the left moved it to you have to get 60 votes. So McConnell has to fulfill his promise. Use the rules in the way that they can be used to make it only 51 votes. And I think if it's 51 votes, Gorsuch gets through, as well as a lot of other judicial appointees.
Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families. Always a delight from hear from you, sir. And got your hand on the pulse of things going on up there. And the pulse seems to be racing at a high level these days up there. And I don't see any surrender at all. You mentioned, yesterday there was the announcement from President Trump about rolling back some of President Obama's regulations on global warming, et cetera. First thing I read this morning is the enviros say they've got a whole team of lawyers and they're going to go to court.
Absolutely.
That's one of the next fronts. Hey, listen, love to read your end of day every day. How can people get that newsletter from you?
They can go to OurAmericanValues.org.
OurAmericanValues.org. It is a great piece of information at the end of the day. Thank you so much, Gary.
Thank you, Fred. Good to talk to you.
All right, going to go to our phones when we come back. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Do Republicans have what it takes to really do battle? And as you just heard Gary Bauer talking about, the big battle right now at the end of the day is what's going to happen with our Supreme Court, because that will control. The Democrats are going to use the court system to try to force their agenda on the American people. It's all going to come up to the courts. We're back. 888-589-8840 when we come back.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. To what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
American Family Association, a ministry with a mission to inform, equip, and activate people like you to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and to give aid to the church here and abroad in her task of fulfilling the Great Commission. We couldn't do it without your day-to-day support. Together, we are making a difference. American Family Association. Find us online at afa.net.
Cross-examined with Frank Turek.
People almost invariably arrive at their beliefs not on the basis of proof, but on the basis of what they find attractive. And a lot of people find it attractive that Christianity might be false. And so they tend not to either investigate it, or they dismiss it, or they vociferously object to it because a creator interferes with what they want to do.
Cross-examined with Frank Turek, Saturday mornings at 9 Central and Sunday afternoons at 4 Central on AFR Talk.
I'm a widow. I've worked for a bank for 31 years, and I've been retired now for 10 years.
Myrtle Norris comments on her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I had a lot of financial questions, and Dan Celia was, he answered my questions, and he helped me with a lot of decisions that I made. And then the charitable gift came up, and he explained that to me. I decided to get it, and I'm sure glad I did, because I know now that money is in a place that I know God wants it to be, and also get my monthly income from it. I believe in the AFA and what they're doing, because they're working for us.
Learn how the AFA Foundation can work for you. You can contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, on our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. Thank you for supporting the American Family Association.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Representative David Nunes has become the latest target of the Democratic Party's political warfare against the Trump presidency. Every instrument at the Democrats' disposal, including their mainstream press echo chamber, is now aimed at stripping him of the House Intelligence Committee chairmanship or ending his responsibility for leading an investigation of alleged Trump campaign collusion with Russian influence operations. The charge against Mr. Nunes is that he has shown himself to be insufficiently bipartisan. Here's a suggestion that should test his critics' actual motives. Broaden the scope of the investigation to include examples of Democrats' involvement in, for example, soliciting Russian intervention in a previous election, garnering immense sums from Putin's kleptocratic regime, and recklessly transferring to the Kremlin sensitive U.S. technology, uranium, and America's decades-long leadership role in the Middle East. Now that would be a useful bipartisan investigation. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And good morning to you. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. You want to chime in on anything going on in Washington, D.C. or around the country, that stuff we've been talking about this morning. And I say stuff, and I don't mean to dismiss it with that kind of word. I tell you what, we're in an ideological battle in this country, and it has many, many fronts. Whether it is the nomination of Judge Gorsuch to the United States Supreme Court, that's being fought tooth and nail by the Democrats. You had the announcement yesterday from President Trump removing some of the restrictions on getting energy sources out of the ground that were put in place by former President Obama. You have the issue right now, of course, of sanctuary cities, the mayors of those big cities, so-called sanctuary cities, that believe they have the right to defy the federal government and protect people who are in this country illegally, committing crimes on a daily basis. These mayors now telling the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, you know what? Attorney General Sessions, go pound sand. And by the way, we are going to fight you, Attorney General Sessions, in your threat to remove federal grants from us. And they're going to go to court. And that's why we're just talking with Gary Bauer. That's why the court issue, folks, is so, so important. Because the left is using the courts on a regular basis to fight their battles because so many federal judges were appointed when Barack Obama was president of the United States. And the reason he appointed them was because they are in sync with his ideology, far left ideology, socialism to the teeth. And I tell you what, and speaking of the left, here's a late edition, a late breaking story from the loony left. All right. It shouldn't surprise you. Iowa State University is the dateline on this one. The international studies professor, James Stroman, has given his students an unthinkable assignment. He wants them to pen an essay in which they adopt the Al-Qaeda terrorist point of view. Here's what he said. Write a paper that gives an historical account of 9/11 from the perspective of the terrorist network. In other words, how might Al-Qaeda or a non-Western historian describe what happened? Now, folks, we have seen this before. Do you remember? Do you remember Secretary of State Hillary Clinton? And I believe John Kerry, her successor, said about the same thing, and other members of the State Department. Do you remember what they had to say? That if we just find jobs for these young Islamic terrorists, that'll change their mind. It's all about job creation. Now, an elementary understanding of Islamic terrorism will tell you it is not about jobs. This is their ideology. This is their worldview. They hate America, not because America is not creating jobs for them. They just hate the ideology. They hate Israel, and they hate the great Satan, which is what they refer to when it comes to America. Need to remind people of the terrorists, whether it's San Bernardino, California, whether it's in Britain. In particular, and I tell people this, remember the attack in Britain, the subway system, the train system there? I think it was more than 50 people that were killed. The young men, the Islamic terrorists who carried out that act, one of them the night before was driving around his neighborhood there in a Lamborghini, not a cheap car. So it has nothing to do with their economic situation, folks. But yet we were told that by then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the State Department. It's about jobs. This is the ideology of the loony left. And now this professor at Iowa State University wants to get essays from his students, get into the minds of the Al-Qaeda terrorists. And you know what he's really aiming for? And I'm speculating to a certain extent, but given the mentality of many of our universities today, he wants papers that would justify what they did in killing between 2,000 and 3,000 Americans that day, 9/11. Hard to believe that, but that's part of the loony left's agenda. Almost justifying why people are angry with the United States. It's our fault. That's their mentality. 888-589-8840. Let's go to our phones right now, and let's head first to Texas and say good morning to Tim. Good morning, Tim.
Hello, Fred.
How are you?
I just want to say thank you for being the best news director ever.
Oh, my.
And just so appreciate what you do all these many years.
Well, thank you.
I just have a question. And I guess it's just ignorance or maybe slow perceptions. But why don't I'm talking about the Supreme Court nomination, Gorsuch and McConnell. I don't understand why the conservative element just doesn't do it. What is the fear? Why do the Democrats have this power of a filibuster, or they're gonna do this for Ginsburg and not for? I don't understand all of these things. If you could just sort of unpack that for some of the smaller brain people like me.
No. That's Tim. It is. There's a little bit of a history to this. For Supreme Court nominees, and that's what, just have to isolate it to that for just a second. Supreme Court nominees, the history in the Senate has been, whether it's a Democratic president or a Republican president, when it comes to Supreme Court nominees, there had to be this level of 60 senators. And it's always worked out that way. There's been respect when it's been a Democratic nominee. For instance, President Obama's nominees to the Supreme Court, Sotomayor and Kagan, there were more than 60 votes. In other words, enough support from Republicans that there was at least 60 votes for those two nominees of President Obama, those two nominees that he put on the Supreme Court. What happened during the course of the last several years is then Senate Majority Leader, Democrat Harry Reid. He was upset that Republicans were blocking many of the federal court nominees that were being put forward by President Obama. And that's when the so-called nuclear option, it was Harry Reid, the Democrat, Senate Majority Leader at the time, he initiated, he changed the rules of the Senate to a simple majority. And that's what happened. And so it was the Democrats that changed the rules. Now, if Mitch McConnell chooses to do this, and many expect that he will, on this nominee to the Supreme Court, this will be the first time that the nuclear option has been used for a Supreme Court nominee. But it's made necessary because, as we were just speaking a moment ago, the Senate Minority Leader, Senator Chuck Schumer, has said not one single Democrat is going to support Judge Gorsuch's nomination. That puts the Republicans in the position of the only way you're going to get Gorsuch through is using this nuclear option, in other words, a simple majority. So that's kind of where we are with all of this. Now, there's still some speculation that because of the elections next year, where I think more than 20 Democrats are up for re-election senators, that there will be some Democratic senators, in order to save their political careers, may come over and vote for Gorsuch, but that they will go hard against any future Republican nominee to replace Supreme Court Justice, let's say, Ginsburg, which is expected to be the next opening on this. So there's a bit of a debate whether the nuclear option will be required, but that probably, if you believe Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, that is probably going to be necessary. And we'll probably find that out next week because they're in a forced recess right now on that committee brought about by the Democrats on the Gorsuch nomination. So that's where we are with that this morning. But it would not surprise me if Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, that they're going to have to go to that nuclear option, simple majority, in order to get Judge Gorsuch on the bench. Still in Texas, Clifford, good morning. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Two comments, one of which you already opened the door with the last caller.
Uh-huh.
I'm a black conservative ever since Reagan ran the first time.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, I didn't vote for Republicans to have them negotiate with Democrats who will never vote for them in the general election.
Mm-hmm.
And in the words of Roosevelt, use the power you've got. Threaten to pack the court if necessary, but forget all the wishy-washy nice stuff. Change the rules. Put through as many of our judges as you possibly can. Push through the legislation required and forget about nicety.
Yep.
Politics is a blood sport, and we don't have politicians with the backbone to play it that way.
I think, Clifford, you're exactly right. I mean, we are at this point where we are involved. This is ideological warfare. The Democrats are very, very good at it. They understand that when you're in power, you fight, you give it all, you leave everything on the field. You use all tactics that you possibly can to get your agenda through, to force your agenda on the American people. And you're exactly right, Clifford. The time for diplomacy, as far as Republicans go, is over. For the niceties of the past, and you know, and I say niceties, it was a day, and there was a day and a time when you didn't have the rancor that you have today. But that's the reality. And that's the kind of way that we have to fight it. Clifford, I appreciate your comments so much. And, you know, Clifford's exactly right. It is time. The Republicans have to play hardball and to work their agenda, because who knows when they will have the opportunity, as they have right now, to control the White House, the House, and the Senate. This may be an opportunity that doesn't come again for a long, long time. Joyce in Oregon. Good morning, Joyce. You're up very early.
Oh, I am. I'm just trying to keep my wits about me so I can remember what I was going to say it so early. But kudos to Cliff. I agree with him wholeheartedly. And my thought kind of goes along with his. And that is that we Christians have a lot of clout. We have a lot of clout through our pocketbooks, and I say we do not spend money in any of these obstructionist states or cities. We don't spend money there. We get our gas before we get there and drive through and get gas on the other side. We eat out at some place that isn't like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't go to Hawaii with that nasty judge over there. You go to the Caribbean or go to Florida. Go someplace new. Go to Tahiti. Save a little extra money. Don't go to Washington and, quite frankly, Oregon either, because Oregon is obstructionist.
Mm-hmm.
And go to B.C. Go, you know, enjoy it. Go up a little bit closer into, you know, the southern part of Alaska. We don't have to spend our money with these horrible places. And believe me, I lived in Hawaii for a while. They will feel it.
Mm-hmm.
They will not like it.
Yeah. So that's a way that individuals can honor God with their money, by avoiding these obstructionist cities, as you call them, and stay away from them. So, Joyce, we appreciate you getting up early to listen to us this morning, and I think that's an excellent idea because, you know, as our own Dan Celia has often said, God holds us responsible for how we spend his money. And I think Joyce has got a great suggestion there. Do we have time for one more call? We'll try to squeeze it in. Let's go with Shirley in Tennessee. We only have about probably less than a minute. Shirley, go ahead.
Was the Freedom Caucus in on the meeting with Paul Ryan? Because I believe people aren't paying attention to Daniel's statue. The Muslims will never rule no matter what they think. Daniel's statue says Rome will rule in the end, and Christ is going to bust it up and bring his kingdom back, and he'll be the ultimate ruler. Thank you.
All right, Shirley. Yes, we all look forward to the return of Christ and the setting up of his kingdom. To your question, was the Freedom Caucus in on yesterday's meeting with Paul Ryan? Yes, they were there. They say, representatives of the Freedom Caucus, that they're willing to work. They praised President Trump for trying to bring about a deal that would repeal Obamacare. But there are still some Republicans that need some convincing. And that takes you folks giving these folks a call and saying, you know, it's time to put on the gloves and fight hard. And we'll help you do it by giving you the latest information that we can. Thank you for listening this morning. Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred sitting in. Sandy will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, keep listening to American Family Radio. Much more great programming ahead on this day, and we'll see you again real soon. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.